Welcome back to State of Belief Radio. I'm Welton Gaddy. My guest is Rabbi Jack Moline, president of Interfaith Alliance. Jack, you're in regular contact with a number of lawmakers on Capitol Hill. In public, their outrage over even the most extreme words from this president's almost completely determined by party affiliation. Is that true in private as well? Or is our government continuing to be a TV show with characters playing to the camera in preordained roles?
My view from talking to people on the other side of the aisle from the president is that they are determined to find a way to continue to do the good work that they were elected to do. They're genuinely outraged at the president. And I would say that the extent of the outrage may be a little overplayed compared to what is being covered of the profound sadness that they feel of the denigration of the office of the president and the diminution of the United States' influence throughout the world. These are people who believe as deeply in the United States in their own imagination as I'm sure the president does in his. They just have such a profoundly different and, I think, more mainstream idea of what America is about that they're desperate to prove that this country still works.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure these people come to Washington to do the work of democracy, to make a contribution to the well-being of the nation. I guess my question is, what are they waiting for? I really think for most Americans outside the district, this just doesn't make sense.
My impression of things, Welton, is that we are not dealing with a conflict between Republicans and Democrats, or even people of particular moral standing and people who don't have those morals. I think we've seen sort of a balkanization of politics in Washington. There are factions within the Republican Party that are preventing the majority party in both houses of Congress from governing. There are members of the Freedom Caucus that are holding certain matters hostage. As you and I are taping this, we're on the verge of a government shutdown on Friday. There's absolutely no reason why, with a Republican majority in the House and the Senate, we should be in this situation. It is true that the Democrats are being uncooperative, but they don't need to be cooperative if the Republicans were unified. I will say that I am sure that there are similar factions in the Democratic Party, and we saw them in much fuller play during the election, that would like to see the party go in different directions. And in fact, I anticipate being in an interfaith meeting with the Democrats. I was invited not as a partisan thing, but as in an advisory role, to talk about how we can bring this country back together a little bit more. That meeting is happening next week. But it is simply a matter that our politics are broken. It is not our country that's broken. It is our politics that are broken.
Jack, I know you're working hard in coalition with partners to influence policy on these key issues and many other issues. Talk, if you will, about what Interfaith Alliance has been up to in the first few weeks of the new year and what that looks like going forward.
We're talking right now at a moment when we are following very, very closely a story that broke as just moments before you and I began to talk about changes in the way that government agencies, cabinet departments, are addressing the religious freedom of various groups of Americans. The Health and Human Services Department has issued new guidelines protecting the personal religious beliefs of healthcare workers that would enable them to refuse to deliver legal and necessary medical care to people whose lifestyles and identities they find religiously objectionable. And over in the Department of Education, there's an indication that education is no longer going to support the civil rights claims of people who have differing gender identities, whether they're transgender or LGB or Q. So these are the kinds of things we've been focusing on. It would be wrong of me to try to pick one or the other of them out. I will also say that just as when all the noise was being made about the Muslim ban, people sort of lost focus on LGBTQ issues, I don't want us to lose focus on what's happening to the Muslim American community because of these high profile changes regarding the civil rights of people of differing gender and sexual identity. We are in still the crisis mode that began in November of 2016, and Interfaith Alliance is not taking its eye off the ball on any of these things.
If that goes through, that will change the fabric of our nation. And it sounds to me like you are looking at something that could consume your time and your efforts this whole year and maybe beyond.
It certainly will draw us into an area of advocacy that, like so many others, we thought would be unnecessary. We made significant progress, Welton, under your tenure in the chair I occupy now, and even in the closing years of the Obama administration, we really felt that we were poised on building a stronger and more inclusive nation. We have gone backwards in America, really for the first time in my lifetime, in your lifetime. We have somebody urging us to look to the past instead of the future. And so, yes, this is going to occupy a lot of what we do, but we're going to do it. We have no choice, and Interfaith Alliance is uniquely positioned to amplify the voices of, I think, the majority of Americans who aren't having any of this, whether you want to call it house or hole.
I want you to remind our listeners of how they can contribute to making this critically important work possible with their generous support, but I want to segue into that before you do and say I know you and I know that one of the things you'd like to see happen that is now urgent to happen is to be able to bring on more personnel to work on the politics and the legislation that's going on Capitol Hill. And I know you can't do that without more money.
Thanks, Welton, for opening that up. Yes, we indeed would be grateful to have a policy person full-time on our staff, someone who could be actively involved on a day-to-day basis with pending legislation on Capitol Hill, meeting with members of Congress and the Senate on an ongoing basis, and being a regular participant with more capacity than I have in the many coalitions in which Interfaith Alliance is a unique voice. So yes, I would be grateful if there were a listener out there who were looking to fund that position. But there are lots of other ways that people with different kinds of capacity can support Interfaith Alliance. The most painless way, frankly, is to become a torchbearer, to commit to a monthly gift, whether it is $10 or $100 or $1,000 that over the course of 12 months would support our efforts. And I'd love to make an offer to anybody who's listening out there. I will come to your community. I will make the case for Interfaith Alliance if you're willing to gather 10 or 12 of your friends who will come together with the commitment that when my presentation is done, they will make a communal gift that will help us advance our cause. That's how dedicated I am to making sure that this message proceeds not just from this excellent broadcast and not just from the email and communications that we send out, but in your local community, amplified by your voice.
Rabbi Jagmeline is president of Interfaith Alliance, protecting true faith and freedom in this country. If we ever needed a clear and unwavering understanding of the constitutional principles that have made America great, we need it now. Jack, thank you for doing what you're doing at Interfaith Alliance. Thank you for the sponsorship Interfaith Alliance gives to State of Belief Radio. Thank you for being with us again today.
Welton, if there's anything that lets me sleep better at night, it's knowing that your voice is heard by so many people each week. So thank you, too.
Time for one more break, and then the hashtag MeToo movement in the church. I'm Welton Gaddy. You're listening to State of Belief Radio, brought to you by Interfaith Alliance.